Sunday mornings and just the opportunity to gather together as a community of believers to worship your name and to hear your word, Lord. And we just pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to what you have to say to us, Lord, and that you would plant new seeds and tend old seeds, God, and that we would just leave here a little more on fire for you, stepping into Holy Week, God, and that we'd just be able to remember the commitment that you made on the cross to us and that the way that we live our lives would reflect what we honor about that commitment, God. And so we give you the rest of the service, Lord. We give you the rest of the week, and we give all praise to you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, worship team. We've been in this series called Miracle Worker, just looking at the miracles of Jesus and how they apply to our lives and our relationships. This morning we're going to focus on the cross. But I just want to kind of give you, as we step into Holy Week, just kind of give you what was going on throughout this week so that you can be better prepared to prepare yourself for Easter on Sunday. But Sunday, Palm Sunday, what we're celebrating today was when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. If you remember, he didn't come in on a white stallion, he came in on a donkey. You know, again, sharing about just his humility. And, you know, they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Lord save us, Lord save us. But they were thinking he was going to save them, you know, by building this big military kingdom. But Jesus had other ideas, even greater ideas of what he was going toward. And then on Monday, he did several things, but one of the things he did was he cleared the temple. You remember that story? They were selling sacrifices in the temple and, you know, making money on the people, and Jesus walks in there and says, you know, this is a house of prayer, not a den of thieves, and he kind of clears the temple. And then on Tuesday of Holy Week, he teaches on the Mount of Olives, several teachings there on the Mount of Olives. And then on Wednesday, not much information about Wednesday. It was just really a day for him to rest there in Bethany and getting prepared for what God was moving him toward. And then, of course, Thursday was the Last Supper, where he gathered with the disciples up in the upper room and began to share with them what was about to happen. And, of course, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed, asking God, was there any other way? And God said, no other way. This is it. And then Friday, he went to the cross and went through that humiliation and the trials of that, and then the suffering and the pain of the cross. And Saturday was the day that Jesus was in the grave. It was quiet. There was, you know, I call that the day of waiting, and maybe even the day of doubt, where, you know, people was wondering what in the world was going on. And then Sunday was the resurrection, that he comes back and that he lets us know that he is alive, that he has defeated death. That's Holy Week. And so I pray that as you walk through this week, that again, you'll prepare your heart to celebrate the resurrection, the day, I call that the winning day. You know, the cross, is there's a warring, there's pain, there's hurt, there, you know, suffering going on. Saturday, there's waiting to really try to understand what God is doing. And then on that Sunday, it's the resurrection, the winning of Jesus and God over death. But this morning, I want to come and I want to just focus on the cross. And here's what I know. I can't lead you to God by telling you someone else's story. You need to experience Him yourself. And when you have an encounter with God, you will be changed forever. When you experience the miracle-working power of God in your life, when you have your own personal encounter, you'll leave here and people will see the change. And because of the light God is shining through you, they will know and glorify your God because of your testimony, your story. And I think all of us want to encounter the miracle-working power of God, but we just don't know where to look. Well, let me share with you this morning, the place we need to look is to the cross. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." It's the power of God. You know, God uses the cross to share with us and to remind you that you are valuable. That you are valuable. The cross really is valued expressed. It's what you are worth to God. And we can't experience the power that comes from the cross without first encountering that truth, that you are worth Him going to the cross, that you are valuable. We look for value in so many other places, though, right? In our stuff, in our relationships, in our career, our finances. But none of that will satisfy. Maybe for a moment, but destruction will come. The things of the world were not made to handle that kind of pressure. And they will always fail at some point. Even the best of relationships at some point will let you down. So first, the cross says you are valuable. Second, the cross says you are redeemed. You are redeemed. You are acceptable to God. All the payment that needed to happen for us to experience that miracle of salvation happened on the cross. The payment and the punishment were paid for on the cross. Galatians 3:13 says, "But Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When He was hung on the cross, He took upon Himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the Scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" You're redeemed, you're rescued, free, you're acceptable to Him. And then finally, the cross shares with us that you are alive. John 10:10 says, "The thief, Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, 'I come that you may have life and have it to the full,'" to have this abundant life. You can encounter the miracle of the cross and live a life that is full and abundant. The message of the cross is the miracle-working power of God. And so how do we get that from our heads to our heart? I think I know an encounter with God begins at the cross, by you and I going to the cross. And if you are looking to encounter the miracle-working power of God, you need to go to the cross and begin to understand what that cross means to us and to our lives and our marriages and our families, to let the cross remind us of the benefits that is ours at the cross, that it's more than just a piece of furniture, more than a piece of jewelry that we wear, that it is something that has transformed our life, and we are deeply connected and impacted by what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We encounter the power of God at the cross. And so I kind of set this morning up for you to do that, to encounter God. And I think there's no better way to learn about encountering the miracle-working power of the cross than looking at the guys that were actually there. Each one that we're going to look at this morning had different experiences that we can learn from. The way that they encountered the cross, and, you know, the encounters they had with the cross, we can learn from those, and we can have our own encounters at the cross. They encounter the power of God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And the first one I want to look at is the sinner. The sinner. Luke 23 says this, verse 18. It says, "But the whole crowd shouted, 'Away with this man. Release Barabbas to us.' Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' For the third time he spoke to them, 'Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him.' But with a loud shout, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will." First person to encounter the cross is the murderer that was meant to die on the cross, right? But Jesus took his place. And I think we can all relate to Barabbas. It's the side of us that's the sin nature of us. The pull to do wrong and to mess things up, to sin. It's that part of us that caused Jesus to choose to go to the cross to set us free. Have you ever felt imprisoned and trapped by something that you've done? A time when you really messed up, you know, when the murderer, so to speak, inside of you, the murderer inside of you had come out in a very selfish way, and you were overcome with guilt and shame, and maybe literally feeling imprisoned, chained up and shackled with no way out. Have you ever felt that way? I mean, almost a claustrophobic feeling because of something that you've done that you know that you shouldn't have done, right? Like, I've got to get out of this, and there's no way out. And maybe that's the way Barabbas felt. And maybe you're there now, and Jesus says, through the cross, I want to take your place and release you from that bondage and give you freedom. And when you and I need freedom, we go to the cross. Jesus wants to take your place. John 8:36 says, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Can you imagine the emotion of Barabbas? I mean, you get up that morning knowing you're headed to the cross to be, you know, to be executed and die, and all of a sudden, because of this man, Jesus, you get set free. I mean, he was supposed to die on the cross that Jesus died on, but Jesus stepped in and took his place. He didn't deserve it, or he didn't even ask for it. You see, Jesus gives us this picture of grace. He says, step aside and I will take your place. Colossians 2 says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. All of our sins, gone. He stepped in and nailed our debt that we owed to the cross. And so if you and I want to encounter the miracle working power of God, we must come to the cross and receive. Receive freedom. It's a place of freedom. You can find freedom from your bondage, from your sins. In the shadow of the cross, we receive freedom. I receive healing. I receive hope for my future. And so what I want you to do this morning, on that card, maybe somewhere, maybe this is where you are. You know, you're like Barabbas. You know that you've messed up. You know that you're struggling with some things in your life that aren't pleasing to your God. And this morning, you need to come to the cross and receive that forgiveness. You need to receive that freedom from Him. And so maybe if there's something there that you just want to write there on that card to ask God to forgive you of and to free you from, to bring you healing and hope, just go ahead and write that on that card and give that to God. The second person I want to look at is the scoffer. He was there hanging on the cross next to this guy that wasn't even supposed to be there, right? Jesus is next to him. He doesn't deserve to be there. He's done nothing wrong. He's hanging next to the Son of God. Luke 23:39 says, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you Christ? Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. He scoffed and he mocked and he doubted that he was the Son of God. And I think there's a scoffer inside of me, maybe inside of you. There are times when we doubt and it gets really bad, and we go through, you know, when we go through a crisis or a tragedy, and things begin to go wrong and things aren't turning out the way we planned, and the enemy begins to throw doubt in our face. And we begin to question if he is God after all. God, are you real? Can you really do a miracle in my life? And we scoff and we doubt the power of the cross. Listen, you can be right next to Jesus and not believe. You can be in church and still encounter the miracle and still not encounter the miracle working power of God. You can be doing the right things and still miss it. So close to Jesus was this guy, and he didn't encounter what was available for him from Jesus. And I think in all of us, there's this doubt from time to time. So when we are doubting and struggling with our faith, when our circumstances scream at us that God is not real, when the enemy lies to us and says he's not your Savior, he's not God, when we doubt, and we're at the crossroad of faith, we must come to the cross and believe. It's a place where choices are made. The scoffer is hanging on the cross. there hanging on the cross was at this crossroad of faith and had a choice. You know, a choice had to be made to believe or not to believe. You see, the cross drives us to that point of decision. We all have to make a decision. The reality of the cross forces us to go one way or the other. We can't be neutral. Do I believe or not believe? Is he the Son of God or just a good guy? Is he a liar, a lunatic, or is he the Lord? Is he my Savior or not my Savior? Unfortunately, the scoffer decided not to believe. And so on your card there, maybe there's some doubt that you have, that you're struggling with. And you just need to surrender that doubt to God, just to write that down. And God, I believe in you, but help me with my unbelief. And whatever that is, and just write that down and give that to God and bring that to the cross and believe. Believe that he is who he says he is. And the third person is the seeker. Hanging there, feeling the same pain as the other criminal, looking at Jesus, the only one that had received 39 lashes across his back, beaten, spit upon, and tortured beyond recognition, hanging there, you know, hearing the scoffer mock Jesus, he says this in Luke 23, verse 40. He says, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. I sometimes call this criminal the worshiper, right? The one who was seeking God. He decides to believe and was forgiven of all of his sin. And that very day, he got to be in heaven with Jesus. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. He was with Jesus immediately. It proves the fact that we can't earn our way to heaven, that the wages of sin is death, that someone has to die. You know, the payment is death, and we can let Jesus pay our debt, or we can choose to pay it. And we need forgiveness for our sin. When we are covered up with shame and guilt and regret, we must go to the cross and receive and go to the cross and believe and worship our Savior Jesus Christ. And if we're going to encounter the miracle-working power of God, we must come to the cross and worship. When you realize what you have been forgiven for, that all of your sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future, it will cause you to worship Him. Nothing I can do to earn it. I just have to receive His grace and His forgiveness. And when I do that, when I seek His forgiveness and not choose to stay stuck in my sin and my shame and my regret, my remorse, but instead receive His forgiveness, it drives me to worship. And it's never too late for us to come to the cross and worship Him. When you receive, believe, and worship Him as you come to the cross. Will you do that today? That's the power of God. The moment you receive, believe, and worship Him, He makes all things new. The cross is a place of new beginnings. And so maybe this morning on that card, you want to write, God, I worship you in this way in my life. God, I want to worship you here. You know, worship is not just coming in here singing. Worship is every area of our life. And maybe there's an area of your life that you haven't given over to Him. And you say, God, I'm going to worship you in this area. I'm going to worship you in my family. God, I'm going to create this culture of worship in my family as we worship you together, you know, in our family or at our workplace. God, give me opportunity to express my worship for you here in this place, my campus. God, I want to worship you there. Come to the cross and worship Him. And then the fourth one is our Savior. Jesus, fully God, but also fully human. I mean, let's just look at the man. The night before he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He's praying. He's crying out to God. He's agonizing over what he is facing. He's worried, and he can't sleep. He can't speak. What was he going through? And not just the physical and emotional turmoil of knowing what was coming ahead. He knew the torture he was going to go through. Obviously, he's God, right? He knew that. He knew what he was going to go through physically. But what the real issue is that he realized that he was going to take the blame, the guilt for every act ever done in history was going to be placed on him. Just imagine the burden. And that's why Jesus in the garden prays, "Father, if it's possible, if there's any other way, if it is possible, God, take this cup of suffering from me." In other words, God, I don't want to have to take all that load on me. And he says, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." And when Jesus symbolically looked into this cup of suffering, he saw every sinful act ever committed. And he was going to take the guilt for every sin. He was going to take it all. And that's what he was struggling with. Because he knew when he'd take that, it would separate him from God, because God cannot look on sin. God is a holy God. And I can just imagine Jesus in my mind in the garden praying. And I've shared this with you before, but I always just imagine him there when I read that passage of him in the Garden of Gethsemane, him on his knees crying out to God. And I just imagine him praying about me and saying, "Father, is there any other way that Monty Davis can get into heaven except I go and die on the cross for all of his sins and pay for them?" And God says, "Son, you know the answer to that question. No, there's no other way. You know that sin cannot enter into heaven. Somebody's got to pay for Monty's sin, either him or you." So Jesus goes through all the trial and all the suffering and all the scourging, and they nail him to the cross. And on the cross he says, "Okay, Father, you said if I took on the judgment for Monty's sin, that he could go to heaven. All right, Father, let the judgment fall." And the skies turn dark, and for 3.5 hours, there's silence in heaven as Jesus is taking on the sin of the world. And in that moment of agony, Jesus on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God the Father says, "Son, you're carrying Monty's sin on you right now, and I've got to turn my back." And that's love. That's unconditional love. And when they drove those nails through the hands of Jesus, they went straight into the heart of God. And it was my sin and your sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross. And like Jesus, if we want to encounter the miracle working power of God, we must do what Jesus did. We must pray what Jesus prayed. Luke 22:42 says, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." God, I want what you want. I want your will to be done. And he prays that prayer, and the prayer that he taught the disciples, "Thy will be done. I want to encounter what you have for me. Your will is more important than mine." And that's what we must do. God's will for you is exactly what you want if you could see your future. So today, you must trust God and finally come to the cross and surrender. Come to the cross and surrender. Surrender your control. Surrender your arguments, your will. Surrender is the key to how we receive, believe, and worship. So will you do that this morning? Maybe on your card, there's something that you need to surrender to him. I mean, you have a relationship with him. You know him. You've received that. You believe in him. You worship him. But there's still some areas of your life that you know that you haven't turned control over to him. You're trying to hold on to them, to control those things in your life. And so there on your card, you can just, you know, maybe write, God, I surrender this to you, and write that down. This area of my life, this, you know, this thing that I'm struggling with, God, I surrender it all to you. Surrender is the key to how we receive, believe, and worship. And I'm going to pray for us here in this moment. And then as we come to our response time, we're going to do it a little bit differently this morning. And we'll still be down here if you need prayer, if you need to make a decision you want to share with us, we'll be here to receive you in that. But I want you to come, and if you're willing to, or if you can, to come and to bring that card and to nail it to the cross. We have some pins, some push pins there, and to come up and just push it into the cross. And come to the cross and receive freedom and receive forgiveness. Surrender everything to Him. Worship Him with your life as you come to the cross and surrender all to your Savior. Pray with me, please. As we pray together today, as you pray with me, I don't know where you see yourself today. You may have listened today, but you had really never come to the cross yourself. And that would be a waste. It'd be a futile exercise to hear about the grace of God, but not to be a recipient of it. So let me just challenge you. Put yourself before the living God on the brink of eternity and hear Him say, what is your claim for entering heaven? And the only answer is, I come, Lord God, in the merit of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And I come because of your grace. Nothing in my hand do I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. Can you say that this morning? If not, today is the day for you to receive this gift that God has given you through the death and resurrection of His Son, Jesus Christ. I just pray for you right now. God, for those who have never come to know the miracle of salvation, help them, God, to right now humbly and immediately bow before you and place their trust in you, who alone forgives them and gives them everlasting life. Maybe you've sat here this morning and you've listened and you know that you're a believer. But there's areas in your life that you haven't turned complete control over to your God. There's sins that you struggle with. There's still shame that you carry with you. There's still something that keeps you in bondage. And today is opportunity for you to come and surrender, to come to the cross and receive His freedom, to be free indeed, to come to the cross and really believe, and you know, the doubts that you might have, that you just give those over to God and come and surrender those to Him. Believe that He is a God that loves you and wants to fulfill His amazing plan in you. And Father, for those who know that they haven't surrendered all to you, that they know you as Savior, God, but there's still areas of their life that they want to hold on to, God, I pray that each one of us would take a step of faith today and come to the cross and surrender that to you. And Father, as we symbolically push those cards into the cross, God, that we would be reminded that it's through the cross that you bring salvation, forgiveness, abundant life, freedom.